Looking to learn about global citizenship? We've got you covered with the Action Builds Community campaign.
What are the actions that we're taking to build the many layers of community, a community of residents, a fellowship, and just local communities? And all that is very meaningful, and that's why we tied it together.
That's Edelman Global Engagement and Corporate Responsibility Managing Director John Edelman. And I'm the Publicity Club of Chicago's Executive Director, Tweet Thornton. I'm also your host today. For more than eight decades, the Publicity Club of Chicago has been the professional home for those in communications, marketing, and public relations. For most of our history, PCC has honored the best of the best in those industries with our award series, the Golden Trumpet Awards. On today's episode, we're looking at one of the top five campaigns in the 2023 Golden Trumpet Awards program. It's a campaign that truly deserves an encore discussion. We couldn't have this podcast without the support of Rivet 360, our podcast sponsor and producer. We also couldn't have this conversation without today's co-host and PCC board member, Kimberly Rudd. Also joining Kim and John is John's colleague, Kendall Schnafner from Edelman. Let's hear from you all and start with Kim.
I am president and co-founder of Rudd Resources. We are a public affairs firm that focuses on advancing people, communities, and ideas in ways that tend to center people who are sometimes called marginalized, but often are at the center of solving problems, of finding solutions, and of enhancing their own lives by using the resources that are made available to them. We are proudly based on the South Side of Chicago in the Bronzeville community, and we're a team of 21 full-time professionals. We've been going strong for 9 years and we'll celebrate our 10th year in June.
Congratulations, that's fantastic. Even though you and I talk and work on a regular basis, I still learn some things in there. So thank you for that. And based on that work, listeners will quickly realize why we asked Kim to co-host this episode. Today, we will be talking with Edelman and having them discuss their Action Builds Community campaign. John, please introduce yourself. Tell us about you and the company.
Yes, John Edelman, Managing Director of Global Citizenship and Corporate Responsibility at Edelman. My role is overseeing all our community impacts and environmental impacts. And I've been in this role 13 years now. So it's great that we're having this conversation because this is what I've been living and breathing. And obviously, I work at Edelman and we've been proud supporters of the Publicity Club of Chicago, and even going back to my father, who was very engaged and involved. So it's great to be here to talk about corporate responsibility and our campaign, and look forward to the conversation.
All right, John, thank you for that. Kendall.
Hi, everyone. Kendall Schaffner here. I also work at Edelman as a senior account executive, corporate social responsibility, sitting on John's team. I've been on the team for close to 3 years now, working on all things CSR, in particular the Action Builds Community campaign, our annual citizenship report. So excited to dive deeper into the campaign and what we're doing at Edelman.
Let's do just that. Give us a quick overview. The campaign that was a top five campaign in the Golden Trumpet Awards last year was Action Builds Community. What was the main objective or goal you faced with that campaign?
The main goal of our report and every report that we do is that making a positive impact of our community is our fourth value. So every year when we do our report, we talk about how we operationalize this value. And so the report, Action Build Community, is based on updating our progress and setting goals for the future. So it's our own benchmark, and that's the key to be successful in corporate responsibilities. You set goals like public relations campaigns. You set goals and you achieve goals, and especially in the reporting where you fall short of the goals, you say what you've done to address it and look forward, because CSR and corporate responsibility is a journey. And every year you make progress against the journey. And so each year when we do our report, we try to update our progress. And it was especially relevant in terms of community, in terms of everything that was happening in the world at the time, that we tie in community. I know that's one of your upcoming questions, but the main goal of our report was really to sort of highlight the impacts we're having in our communities and operationalizing and showing to our employees and other stakeholders what we do year to year to make progress on our long-term journey.
Can you talk more about the strategy behind the campaign? How did you approach this?
Sure. Well, as I said, our report is for FY22. So at that time, there were multiple issues happening. We were still in COVID. There was work from home. There was the gun violence. There was the George Floyd. So community, we really wanted to talk about community and how corporate responsibility and the actions that we take to build community. And in the letter, if you, as you know from the report, we sort of went back to the facts about what community is all about. Community is fellowship. Community is about citizenship. It's about citizens. It's creating an identity and a community. And at that point in time, having a community and being connected to a community was a key success factor of our report. And at that time, many other companies were trying to talk about community and how they were building community. So that was our overarching strategy. What are the actions that we're taking to build the many layers of community, a community of residents, a fellowship, and just local communities? And all that is very meaningful. And that's why we tied it together as actions build community as the theme for our report.
You're talking a little bit about some of the people that you brought together. Can you expand more, you know, who were maybe some of the other key stakeholders that were on the project and helped launch it?
Yeah, I can take that one. So we worked with a variety of stakeholders to create action, build community. I would say the key ones would be Edelman employees, of course, and our current clients, among others. But our team, the Global Citizenship team at Edelman, really manages the execution of the report, but we couldn't do it without, you know, tag teaming with all of the important people that I've named.
So you had everything lined up for execution. Then how did you roll it out? Did you have anything unexpected happen along the way?
Yeah, so the report came together in what we call a one Edelman approach. We had various functions collaborating to get the report across the finish line and published, from data and intelligence to design, creative, marketing, various subject matter experts. We really worked together to roll out the report, both internally to our employees and externally to clients and peers. We're lucky that in our first year publishing a microsite versus our typical PDF report, it surprisingly went very smoothly and nothing really unexpected happened along the way. But some key takeaways were really to just stay organized and staying as close to our timeline as possible to stay on top of, you know, all of the multiple people working on the project.
What is that microsite?
You can go to edelman.com and find the subhead for citizenship, and you can find all of our past reports there, including this one, and then our most recent 2023 report, Local Action Global Transformation, on the website.
Fantastic. All right. And speaking of the Edelman website, what are some other campaigns of yours that you'd like to highlight, either your specific team? I noticed that you now have Local Action, Global Transformation in place, and Edelman always working on something. So many, many campaigns all at the same time in offices throughout the world. What are some other things you'd like to highlight?
Well, every year when you do a report, you're always trying to tie to the moment and the time. So this podcast is about action builds community, and we explain that. But this Local Action Global Transformation really reflects the journey. What I've discovered in 13 years in the role is that CSR and sustainability is transformational at your company. And so that's really significant. Over the 13 years, things have changed and evolved. That's the key to PR and communications, is you have to evolve and grow and adapt. So over the 13 years, there's been, and we talk in our report about 10 transformations, but I'll talk about two, and the report, as Kendall talked about, is in our website, but two that were very transformational are our commitment to science-based targets. So that is now the gold standard in terms of your taking action on climate and taking action in society, as companies are expected to be leaders in taking action because they're most trusted. So creating science-based targets is a huge transformational aspect. It's just sort of simple explanation is that before we did science-based targeted, we just reported on our business travel, our water, and our paper, and our electricity. And with science-based targets, you have to report on your scope 3 emissions that are most material. This is a cutting-edge issue that many companies are facing, professional services, communications, and everybody else, because as the purchase goods and services, which one of the scope 3 emissions, which are the indirect emissions, as a corporate citizen, you're being accountable for those emissions. So the SBTI made us look at going beyond those four at purchase goods and services, employee commuting, all these things. So that's transformational when you, so the other thing about corporate responsibility is that when you touch one part of the company, such as putting science-based targets in place, it's a chain reaction. It affects all the other parts of the company. So as an example, for 70 years, we did not have a global procurement department. Now we do. We have a global procurement department that's run up through finance because the expectation of stakeholders is that you're accountable. As I said, scope 3 emissions could be 70 to 90% of most companies' scope 3, the indirect emissions. So to be responsible and get the science-based targets, you have to get the quality information from your suppliers. So the first year of our science-based target, our baseline, is based on the spend. So if your spend goes up for your purchase goods and services, your advertising, supports, whatever you do, your GHG is going to go up. So that means you have to get very good data from your supplier. So that's transformational, setting up the procurement department, setting up the supplier engagement platform, which we're doing, educating. We have category managers that are being built now too. So that's example of two transformations. The fact that science-based targets impacts the whole company, and now we're having to do the scope 3 emissions, which is your suppliers, and then actually setting up a global procurement department, setting up the policy, setting up the practices, setting up the categories, and then transformational, putting it into goals, putting it into action. So in our 2023 report, we talk about how by 2030, we're going to expect our business partners and suppliers to go for the science-based targets. So that's what I mean by transformation. So it's incremental, but this is why the last year's campaign was all about transformation, because over the 13 years, CSR has been transformational and corporate responsibility is transformational going back. I mean, it was very eye-opening. If you touch one part of the company, like procurement, it impacts finance, training, educating our employees, putting up the systems in place, the IT. So that's transformational. And then you put it in a public goal that by 2030, we're going to ask our business partners to set science-based targets as well. So that's what I mean by transformation.
And talking about that, it's interesting. It made me think about all the different Publicity Club of Chicago members. You know, some of them are solopreneurs, some of them work for nonprofits, some of them run mid-sized to large agencies, both like yourself and like Kim as well. Is there an action or two that you can think of that would be good for them, all of our members, to implement as part of what you are working on right now?
You could do a whole nother podcast on that, but I'm happy to sort of give you a few helpful hints, because that's what our 13-year journey was. Like, we did not have a corporate responsibility CSR sustainability function until 2010. And at that point, we'd been around 60 years. So the first thing I'll say, it's incremental. So it's accelerated now because all of the expectations of stakeholders and investors that you have to be accountable and report and disclose your GHG. But if you're just starting out, start with the policies. Set up an environmental policy. Set up a sustainable procurement policy. And then the second recommendation would be start your GHG inventory, because it's changing fast because legislation is changing fast. An example of California, that new law passed. So any company over $1 billion in sales by 2025 has to report their scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. It's required by law. So that means that companies like us that are doing business in California, like a lot of your members are, you're going to have to get accountability from your suppliers. So, and then globally, you know, the corporate responsibility, corporate standards reporting directive is also hitting by 2027. If you're public or private, you're going to have to report your GHG emissions by law or be fined. So those would be three things I'd say. And then benchmark. Obviously, you got to benchmark first. So there's lots of, you know, guides such as SBTI helps you on GHG, but like the United Nations Global Compact, they have a self-auditing form you can use. You need to find out where you stand. So first, I'd say benchmark, know where you are. Second, I'd say start incrementally. Two big things are put your policies in place, like environmental, sustainable procurement. This is exactly what we did. And then third, start calculating your GHG inventory. This is becoming really relevant because in January 2024, the European Financial Reporting Advisory Group, EFRAG, announced the release of new sustainability reporting standards for small and medium enterprises. So those would be some initial suggestions, if that's helpful.
GHG, this is the first time I'm hearing the phrase, and maybe I shouldn't be admitting that, but I do want to clarify for listeners who may be like me. So it's greenhouse gas emission.
Greenhouse gas emissions. So the GHG protocol, which came out about, 10, 15 years ago, sort of create the standards on how you calculate your greenhouse gas emissions.
That was my next question. Yeah, because like it looks like EPA.gov has a way for you to track your own emissions.
They have some calculators, but I mean, there's a lot. Like I said, you could do a whole thing. But for people that are not familiar in the space, there's three types of emissions. Scope one is your operational that you control. That's your fleet. That's your fuel sources in your buildings. Scope two is your electricity. This is your electricity that you buy, whether it's through energy tariffs or bundled renewable energy credits. It's the electricity you buy. That's scope two. That's your direct. The third is scope three, and there's something like 15 categories of emissions. And, you know, it's everything from, like I say, it's your business travel, your employee commuting, purchase goods and services, your investments, waste. So the key is that the ones that are most material to you based on your size, you will get a sense of what you need to calculate. But that's a process, but every company needs to start that because, like I said, legislation is happening. I mean, even the federal contract authority, they made a mandate as part of the current administration that if you're a certain size of a government contractor, you're going to have to report your greenhouse gas emissions and even your larger ones. I think it's something like 75 million or more. You have to do science-based targets. But even then, if you're 7.5 million, you have to report scope 1 and 2 emissions. But over time, because California and the rest of the world is asking all companies of all sizes to do it, people have to start figuring out how to do that.
John, this is really helpful. and educational. But you're talking about very big numbers for very large companies. I also hear you say, no matter what size you are, start somewhere, start small, start to take these incremental steps to be responsible as part of being a good corporate citizen, no matter how large or small your company is. And I want to kind of connect that to action building community. So one thing I heard you say was that scope 3 greenhouse gas emissions includes being aware of your business travel and your employee commuting. And I wonder if Kendall can talk to us a little bit about how the knowledge, how employees' knowledge at Edelman of its measurements of greenhouse gas emissions as one of the many factors of its Action Builds community strategy, how it might change your own behavior as an employee, or how you see your colleagues change their behavior when it comes to how they get to work, or how they adopt the global procurement policy that Edelman has set and adopt it and apply it locally in Chicago?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think educating our employees on the impacts that we're making is huge, and steps that they can take to, you know, be greener in their day-to-day lives, whether it, like you mentioned, be, you know, commuting to the office by taking public transportation, or maybe riding a bike, or if you're close enough, walking. Like, that's a just a small step that you could take in your day-to-day to help with our commuting numbers. Even I know in Chicago, there's now like local composting companies that you can do at home. So if you're working from home one day, they will drop off a jar and you can, you know, compost your food and all that, and then they'll come and pick it up. So there's little things that we like to educate our employees on day to day to, you know, make their lives greener. In turn, you know, we see a lot of positive feedback on that because people don't know where to start. So, you know, providing small tips and tricks, and like John mentioned, having policies in place definitely helps, you know, start somewhere and take that action that we mentioned in our Action Builds Community report.
One add-on, incremental steps, like if you're a small company, the easiest thing to do, which the SEC is now looking at in some level environmental reporting. So if you're a smaller company and haven't done, the easiest ones to obtain are your scope 1 and 2. It's your, what powers your building, and it's your fleet, and scope 2 is your electricity. So, and some people are indicating, I don't know what the SEC is going to do, but scope 1 and 2 are the easiest to start with. So if you're a small company, look at that first, and that's basic incremental steps. And then as you get more advanced, then you can add these other things. But I would recommend overall, if you're not, anybody's not doing this, that they get a handle on those. And that's, like I say, incremental action, taking steps, and then you'll get, you know, 13 years down the road like us, where you're actually doing this all integrated approach across the company globally.
That's great. Let's shift a little bit. So, you know, Action Builds Community was one of the top 5 awards for PCC in 2023. What do you see out there in 2024 that's catching your eye that you think is award worthy, that is a campaign that either you have noticed that someone else has released, or maybe something that an Edelman team is working on?
Well, one that we'll talk about, because we sort of will talk about the things that we put that were in our report, because we, in our report, we talk about things that we're doing, and we'll talk about things that we're doing on behalf of clients. So one of the exciting ones was the Heinemann's mayonnaise, make taste, not waste. This used ChatGPT to create menus for not, you know, to basically to create food waste during the non-culinary influencers. So basically you use ChatGPT, what are recipes, you know, of things that you, mayonnaise recipes, and it came out with recipes. So that was a very meaningful campaign that had great results, but also tapped into ChatGPT. So the idea there is it's cutting edge, it's the new, it's transforming, and the fact that we were able to apply ChatGPT in support of a campaign what was a meaningful campaign. And this is highlighted, I think, in our 2023 report. So that's one example of a very interesting campaign.
I'm definitely curious about this now. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, the Hellmann's mayo is really cool in eliminating food waste, just using what you have in your fridge and using AI to make menus. I wish that I knew about that, and I will use that in the future. But something that I wanted to talk about was a campaign that we did reference in the Action Builds community report. It was titled Race Equality Matters. So that group is a nonprofit that launched the My Name Is campaign. This campaign focused on mispronunciation of names. So I guess this in the UK is the most common microaggression towards minorities in the workplace. So they created the Phonetic Filter, which is a social tool with a database of over 500,000 different phonetic spellings of names from over 70 countries in 22 languages. So the filter let anyone share the phonetic spelling of their name. And you could listen to it and hear it so that people knew how to correctly pronounce their name, and, you know, so that they could help eliminate those microaggressions that they, you know, felt in the workplace. So I thought that was a really, really cool diversity, equity, and inclusion campaign.
It really is. You don't think about how that is the smallest thing. Our name is our full and personal identity. And if you make mistakes with that, it can be very offensive and chip away at trust building and all kinds of things. And I know trust is important at Edelman. So anything else that's out there that you think, even if it's not a specific campaign, something that's just interesting to you that's on the horizon that we should be paying attention to at PCC?
Well, I'll just project a few trends that are coming in the CSR space as I see. You know, obviously one of the big ones is this whole nature-based solutions. That's very relevant. I mean, it's relevant big picture, but for people that are on the science-based target journey, to get to net zero, you have to reduce 90% of your emissions and the rest of the residual emissions you have to remove. And nature-based solutions such as investing in mangroves and ecosystems. So that's becoming more integrated into investors' conversations. I think the standards that are out there, like CDP and GRI, and in fact, GRI has just put out a biodiversity standard. So I think keep your eye on that one. I think that's very relevant. And another one very interesting, SEC is expected to put out disclosures about human capital, workplace disclosures. So that's another one. So those are, you know, things that you're seeing, like, you know, and it's not only diversity and talent, but it's a number of other human capital aspects. That's SEC is going to integrate those. They put a calendar of what they're going to report on. And that's another one. So those are two areas I would keep your eye on, the nature-based solutions and these human capital disclosures that are going to go just beyond diversity numbers and gender numbers. They're going to go a little deeper on the human capital aspects at a company. So those are sort of things coming down the pike in terms of the corporate responsibility, CSR, sustainability space that I would anticipate.
I echo what you say about nature-based solutions. We're also working on a project for one of our clients that is looking at nature-based solutions around transit infrastructure. And you're absolutely right. Simply planting more trees, creating more shade canopies, providing stormwater runoff options for communities that tend to have flooding are simple things that can be done, but should be done at systemic levels. And so I appreciate what you're saying about that. Kendall?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like continuous education to either employees or peers is really important too, because not everyone works in this space and they don't know the impacts that they might be creating. So any way that you can continue to educate your peers on the stuff that we've been talking about today is something that we can always do.
This has been such a fascinating conversation, and I really appreciate you taking the time. We are about at time for our conversation today. But before we wrap up the episode, I'd like each of you, Kim as well, to give us one tip that has you helping yourself in 2024. It could be related to self-care. It could be a new routine. Could be just something, even new software that has you being more productive. What has you off to an award-winning start in 2024? Kendall, why don't we start with you?
My tip helping me in 2024 is to give yourself space to enjoy the little things. As we mentioned at the top of the call, there's a lot going on in the world, not only in 2022, but as we continue into 2024. So definitely make time for you and do things that, you know, make you happy.
All right. John, how about you?
For me, what I'm proactively doing coming out of the hybrid work, you know, I usually would have lunch at my desk and there was a break. So what I'm doing proactively is if I'm going for lunch, I'll take 30 minutes and actually take 30 minutes, you know, of grace to sort of sit down, eat your food, you know, maybe watch the news, whatever, or take a walk, whatever. So that's what I'm starting to do. And it's very, very helpful. It sort of recharges you. And so you're not sort of, you know, I mean, I know return people are coming more to the office, but that's something that I've started to do. And it's really beneficial to give you some time to break and then re-engage, you know, in the afternoon. So I think that would be my tip for a successful 2024, to give yourself those breaks so it's not all merged together and you're not constantly on Zoom or whatever. I think that's a helpful suggestion.
All right, fantastic. Kim, how about you?
I love these two suggestions. I'm taking advantage of all of the benefits that come along with my healthcare insurance. You know, we all have these packages and we tend to focus only on the copay benefit or the eyeglasses, you know, once a year. But most packages include some other fun things that we ignore. So apps that help you meditate and reminders I pretty much got a free Apple Watch because I'm just tracking my steps, things like that. So I'm taking advantage of that, which all contribute to a healthier me. So I'm pleased.
I was going to share a different tip, but based on this, I got to keep with the theme. I will say that I enjoy the Calm app. Calm will give you a lot of meditation. There's lots of different things. There's even sleep stories and different things. But finding my center, taking that time to reflect and just to pause. And I think that we learned a lot of different things during the pandemic. And that's definitely one for me of taking the time to reflect and just have better mental health. That's my 2024 and carrying on from 2023 as well. Well, my thanks to you all for participating in this great and fascinating conversation. We encourage you to be a better citizen, to take action in your community, and we look forward to a great 2024 ahead. My thanks to you all. With that, our conversation comes to a close. I hope you enjoyed hearing from John Edelman and Kendall Schnaffner from Edelman, along with PCC's very own Kim Rudd. It was a great dive into what it means to be a global citizen, and I learned a lot. I thank both of our guests and my co-hosts for amplifying all of the wonderful work that is being done out there, especially Edelman's 2022 campaign, Action Builds Community. Our thanks again to Rivet360 for sponsoring this discussion. Rivet 360 is the podcast production company that can help you take your idea to audio delight. For more, check out rivet360.com. The Publicity Club of Chicago podcast is produced and edited by Rivet 360's Jennifer O'Neill. Podcast artwork is by Fee Morgan of DBC Brand. If you are interested in learning more about the Publicity Club of Chicago and the Golden Trumpet Awards, please visit publicity.org. That's all for today. More great discussions are coming your way.